This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First of all, how you doing? We know you live in Tampa. And how are you and how's your family?
I'm fine. Family is fine. Interesting story. So last Saturday, I got up in the morning, first thing in the morning, and obviously the storm was coming, but it wasn't projected to be there till Wednesday, Thursday. And so I put the kids in the car Saturday morning, and we drove Tampa to Atlanta because that was WWE had their Bad Blood, their premium live event up there. So we drove up to that event Saturday, got up there early afternoon, went to the event that night. You know, school was still on and everything, you know, the storm was still far enough off. So first thing Sunday morning, got in the car and drove all the way back, to Tampa. So made that drive on Saturday, made it back on Sunday. The kids had a half a day of school on Monday. Hillsborough County, they did not have school on Monday because now the storm's coming and they prep, they use all the high schools and middle schools as prepping points for, shelters. And so Hillsborough didn't have school. The kids had a half a day. So when I got the kids out of the half a day, then it was like anybody that knows about evacuating down in Florida is like, don't wait till Tuesday. Don't wait till Tuesday. You know, it's going to be tough. So we decided after they got out of school about 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon to head back to Atlanta. And it was not easy getting there. The traffic was brutal going out of Tampa, but we were able to get into Atlanta Monday night. So I had made the drive Saturday. And by the way, the whole time I'm driving on Monday, I'm like, I was there yesterday. Why did you turn around and drive? So I ended up making that drive three times in 3 days.
Wow.
And now trying to make our way back to the house now, it's been very slow going because I think a lot of people that evacuated are now trying to get back to their homes. So, everything's good. We're a couple hours away. Interestingly enough, my house, that night of the storm, I have security cameras on the outside of the house, and about 12:30 at night, I clicked on the link, the app, to see, if those things came up, and they did.
Oh, wow.
So periodically throughout the night, I watched the storm on my security cameras, which was surreal. I mean, I'm watching the storm move my smoker, like move it right down these papers. It looked like
Holy
my smoker
smokes.
Was trying to make a run for it. Like, this guy uses me too much. This is my chance to run. And, moving it, it was crazy. But all that to say, with those cameras on, I never lost power. And when I go on the Tampa Electric outage map, there are, like, in my whole region, there are probably 15 homes that have power, and I'm one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
So, no, dude, wow. You have no idea. I will send you guys a picture of the outage map, and I'll earmark where my house is, and you're like, no way. And the open area to the left of my house that is showing that there's power there, it's a giant open field. So there's nobody that lives there. So while there's power there, there's power to nothing because there's nothing there.
Wow.
And so, I mean, you talk about fortunate because everybody's out of power. And there are two streets in our development that have about five or six homes on each that have power. Everybody else in the region out. Crazy.
It was so interesting. As I was watching, too, so my mother-in-law is on the Space Coast. And so, I was typing in to see what they were going to get on the other side of the state. And, I kept looking at the freeway cameras down there, and I was surprised at how there wasn't that much water on the freeway, and, like, you could see the painted lines, and then I found, like, a skate park that was near where she lives, and I was looking, and I was like, oh, you can still see the grass. So it's amazing that when you have one of these crisis situations, how much information you can get by not being there with all of these cameras up all over the place.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And that's why, like, when I clicked on that link, I never thought of those things coming on. They came on, and I'm like, wait a minute, that means I have power. And they stayed on all the night. And, you know, and it ended up, you know, that was the way that it was. Now, the problem is that there are, as you can imagine, there's still very little power. They're trying to restore power to, you know, to hospitals, government buildings, you know, all of those places, essential businesses. They're trying to get the power back to you. So no one has power. There is no gasoline to be found in the city. You can't find ice to save your life. I mean, literally to save your life. I mean, it's crazy how they don't, there's nothing down there. And so every little bit on the drive, and I'm taking back roads back to Tampa to stay off of 75, because 75 is a parking lot once you got to Gainesville. And so I was, you know, in Gainesville's probably a couple hours north of Tampa. Then you have Ocala. It was awful. It was just bad all the way down. So I got kicked off onto some side roads. And the good thing is these little communities, they have small little gas stations that are still viable.
Oh, wow.
Now, but I've heard that once you get about an hour outside of Tampa, you better make your last stop to fill up with gas. Because after that, even the little towns don't have anything. And so that's what we're going to try. Get back to Tampa as close as we can to a full tank of gas. I've got power, and then just ride it out and help friends from there.
It also looks like Tropicana Field needs a new roof.
Oh boy. I mean, and that was a staging center for first responders. I mean, that was a staging center for first responders, and they got that roof ripped right off, and those people had to scramble and get the heck out of there. I have no idea where they went. But obviously, you couldn't stay there. It's kind of crazy.
I'm still looking at the pictures of that. So, all right, were you able to watch the Guardians? Were you able to watch any baseball?
Yes, I was actually. I was actually able to watch, you know, most of their series. That was the one that I've been the most interested in. Obviously, from what I told you guys of us playing Detroit and how hot they are, you know, they've got the best record since August 10th in Major League Baseball. That you just knew it was going to be a brawl. And the way that Cleveland came back on the road yesterday and Fry hit that big home run and then the insurance run, how important was that? Boy, what a series. I cannot wait for tomorrow night to watch that game five, because this has been an excellent series. You know, clutch hitting, a lot of really good pitching, and certainly they're going to have their work cut out for them tomorrow going up against Skubal. The only thing is, as good as Terrence Skubal is, and he's, you know, the runaway winner of the Cy Young Award, they just saw him. And because he threw so well, it's always hard for a pitcher when you face a team back-to-back, because if you throw very well against them the first time, well, there's probably not a lot you're going to tweak the second time. But guess what? Those hitters on the other team know that too. So it was always dangerous going back with a very similar game plan. It's hard to veer off from what you did, because you did it so well. You executed at such a high level and pitched so well, it's hard to deviate too far from that, at least initially, because why change? You know, it's always force the hitter to make the adjustment, and then I'll make the adjustment. But I'm not going to make an unnecessary adjustment. If I'm owning you with a certain sequence of pitches, I'm going to make you adjust to me before I adjust to you. I'm just going to keep owning you with that. And so that'll be interesting to watch tomorrow night. Does Skubal go after this lineup the same way? I'm sure he'll have a few wrinkles and a few tweaks, but overall, the game plan's probably going to be pretty similar. So we'll see if Cleveland, having just seen him a few days ago, can make the necessary adjustment and, you know, maybe get a couple runs off him early. That would be the key, man. That would be the key, and then that would allow Vogt to ride his bullpen if he can get an early lead. Easier said than done against him, no question about it, but that's got to be the game plan, is to try to, you know, take his game plan, if they recognize it right off the bat that it's eerily similar to a few days ago, to try to capitalize on that and scrape across a couple of runs and then ride that bullpen to a win.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Indians pitcher, current Rays color analyst. RIPA, when David Fry, after hitting a home run the previous at bat, laid down that bunt, you thought what?
Playoff baseball, team first. Playoff baseball, team first. I and that's what you love about it, because it's not about you. It's about doing what it takes to benefit the team. You just come off of hitting a pinch hit, two-run homer to put your team up one, and then you go to the other extreme and get the bunt down to get an extra run in. I love it, man. That is what it's all about. That is what it's all about. That's why October baseball, there's nothing like it. And when we've talked before about not everybody can play in October because of the factors, and it's the same game, but it's different. And playoff baseball is just hyper-focused. So to see him do that in his last two at-bats, homer, bunt, and he's responsible for three of the five runs, that is awesome.
What are you thinking about for then tomorrow night? How do the Guardians pull this thing off?
Well, like we said, I think that you cannot let Skubal settle in, because if that guy gets into a rhythm, you'd be lucky to score a run. I mean, he's that good. And so you've got to try to make it uncomfortable for him early. And, again, that's a lot easier said than done because of how good he is. But, again, they just saw him. So, you know, they've got an idea, release point, action on pitches. You know, I don't know how many times they saw him during the course of the year, but I think they've probably seen him a few other times, too, being in the same division.
You're going to laugh, so, B.A., they only saw him once during the regular season.
Okay, so as many times as the Rays did. No, actually, the Rays saw him more. The Rays saw him both trips in. Oh, man. Well, listen, they just saw him, and what he did worked. So I don't think that he's going to deviate from that too much. So, again, maybe they can scrape across a couple of runs early. If they can do that, Vogt can press the right buttons and you know, ride the bullpen as well as anybody, because that's what is so interesting about this series. Both teams have such strong bullpens, and because there is no tomorrow, well, there is a tomorrow, but there is no Sunday for either one of these teams, you're going to see Hinch and Vogt go to that bullpen. Well, maybe not Hinch. He's going to ride Skubal. But Vogt, you could imagine him going to that bullpen early and often, especially if that team, you know, Cleveland has a lead. But I think that that's the key. I think if Skubal gets into a good rhythm early, ooh, that's tough. That's tough because he's a guy that pitches not with a ton of emotion, but he shows some emotion. And if he gets into a good rhythm and he's starting to feel it, man, that's going to be tough. So you hope for, you know, to scrape across again a couple of runs in those first couple of innings. And then it just becomes a, you know, just hammer it down from there, because the Hinch is going to stick with Skubal until the last possible second. Vogt is going to go to that pen if he's got a lead as early as he can.
What do you think about in the makeup of having so many rookies in the bullpen for the Guardians? I just that's a storyline that I don't know a lot of people have talked a ton about, but it is, nationally at least, it's amazing what they've been able to do. And on top of that, you got a rookie manager.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know if I told you guys this story, but after the series against Cleveland, I was, you know, going downstairs to go get on the bus and head back home, and I ran into Vogt, Steven, coming out of his press conference, and I said, and that was a game I believe that they had, what was it? No, it was when we were in Cleveland before that. But anyway, it was the getaway day, and the last game was one of those, you know, five innings from the starter, and then one, shut piece, see you later, game over. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking, I said, boy, you have a formula. And he kind of laughed. He kind of chuckled. He's like, oh, I've got a formula. He's like, these guys are unbelievable. You know, talking about Smith and what's the lefty's name? Is it Herrick?
Yeah, Tim Herron.
With Smith and Herron and Gattis. And Hunter Gaddis, and then Class A, he's like, oh, I've got a formula, and it works pretty well. He goes, these kids have been absolutely amazing, and he said they all got ice water in their veins. They all want the ball in the biggest of spots. I mean, he did nothing but heap praise on his guys, which he should, but he did. He got a sly, wry little grin and was like, yeah, I've got a good system in place.
It made me laugh, B.A., because in the on the broadcast – the other Brian Anderson called him the Four Horsemen, and my mind immediately thought of you, and I started going, all right, so Class A has to be Ric Flair. So who's Arn Anderson? Who is
right.
I just immediately right. started going right. right back to that level.
Oh, dude. So good. And by the way, that bad blood up in Atlanta was off the chain. I'm telling you, the two WWE events I've gone to, SummerSlam at Cleveland Browns Stadium and that event up in Atlanta, you go in expecting it to be really good, and it becomes spectacular. They know how to put on a show. I'm going to tell you that.
Hey, did you ever cross paths with Jeff Francoeur? Did you guys play with each other on the same?
No.
He was in Kansas City for a little bit there. That's what I was
trying. Yeah, upstairs in the broadcast booth in passing, like once or twice, briefly, you know, quick hello. But that's been the.
Can you tell him to quit calling Brian Anderson BA? It's driving me nuts during that because I keep thinking he's going to you. It's the whole time. It drives me nuts.
Every time he drops a BA, I'm like, come on, bro. Come on. I've been watching those games, and they're such good guys. You know, Brian Anderson, the play-by-play guy, you talk about a great human. I think you guys have even had him on the show.
Yeah, he was on last
few
week.
Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the best, man.
We affectionately call him. Job. He's the other Brian Anderson when he calls in, just so you know. You got more street cred, just so you know.
I can understand that, but he is he's so accomplished. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he does the playoff baseball. He's got the Brewers. He does, you know, the high end of the NCAA tournament, NBA playoffs. I mean, he is so good at his job, and he is so easy to work with. That's the thing. That's the thing you realize in this sport. You know, I do enough national games every year. I usually get two or three of them. And every time, you know, I'll get a national game, you work with somebody different, you know, and you know, it's not always smooth. And he's a guy that makes it smooth for his analysts. And he does a great job of setting up his analysts, because at the end of the day, baseball, it's about the analyst, not the play-by-play guy. He's going to get credit for the great calls, but you better have a guy that can break it down properly and can show you things that maybe you didn't see as the fan at home, you know, kind of let you peek behind the curtain. And he does a great job of setting up his analysts so they can shine and they can show you things and tell you things and explain things that make it even more interesting. Because guess what? Baseball on TV, it's a medium where it's a visual medium. So when a guy just, comes back and tells you what you already saw, you're like, I saw that. I watched that. Now explain the significance of that to me. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's a fastball down the middle. There's not a whole lot to explain other than you may want to stay out of the middle of the plate with the heater with this guy. You know, there's nothing to explain there. But there are other little nuances of the game that analyst can bring to, you know, can bring to the fan at home where you go, Oh, okay, yeah, I see what he did right there. And BA, the other BA, allows his analysts that wiggle room. He does a great job of setting them up so they can show you. They can show you the shortstop that took the drop step to get a better hop, which then allowed him to, you know, get the ball on its way to first base quicker than if he tried to charge it and shoestring grab it and throw it that way. They're just different little nuances of the game that an analyst can provide the viewer that makes it really even more interesting. They can take a mundane play and make it pretty cool because of something that they notice. And BA does a great job of setting that analyst up to be able to do that if he's paying attention.
BA, you're the real BA to us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Hope everybody's safe in your neighborhood and everything's okay back home. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, dude.
Yes, sir. Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.
Be safe. We'll talk to you next weekend. All right.
See you.
He is Brian Anderson. He's always nice enough to join us on Fridays. We get a little bit of a baseball breakdown. Time now for a 2020. Here's Andrew Hody.